The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
All right, guys, welcome into Coffee and Shell, episode 38 of the Premier NHL Video Game Podcast. Myself, Sleeves, and Kesso here to break. Today's episode is very GWC-oriented, all right? Not going to beat around the bush. We're going to talk a lot about it. I just got back from Montreal. It is now concluded, and we can unpack it and all the kind of stuff. Kesser, you're going to lead the discussion, but I will fill it in where it is necessary. But what have you been up to this week? I was probably more busy than you. Maybe I was.
Actually, I went away this weekend.
Where'd you go?
Well, you were definitely more busy than me, the fact that, you know. No, I went with my wife and her family to Put-in Bay, like in Ohio. Have you ever been there?
What a Put-in. Fun word, bro.
Put-in. P-U-T-I-N. Put-in Bay. Have you ever been there?
Oh, that's not nearly as fun.
No,
I've never
right?
Been
no, Pudding Bay is where Bill Cosby used to, you know. But
Jesus.
No, it was cool. I just went away for the weekend. They rented a cabin, so it's a small island. I want to say it's like 1 square mile or something. So like, you drive around on a golf cart, you go to bars, you go eat, you do stuff.
That's kind of sweet.
Yeah, and that was pretty much it. You know, like it's pretty cool. It's like this huge party island, and I didn't realize that. And it's like one of those places you go to in your early 20s, and if you don't walk away with an STD, then something was like wrong. That's the kind of vibe it was. And it was weird that her family wanted to go there.
We got something. I used to have a cottage at a place called Turkey Point. There was something called Potahawk every summer, which was there's a lot of sandbars on Lake Erie where we are, where that is. And basically everyone brings like 5,000 boats out to this sandbar. They anchor. And then it is, it's just, if you escape without getting something, that's a W. But, I got back from Montreal and got to experience the full gambit, got to hang out. Dude, I had my tires pumped by Gary Bettman.
That was pretty cool. I was surprised. He was there for the first year. I don't remember if he was there again after that.
He handed out the trophy to, like, cooks and whatnot.
Okay, so 2 years in a row he did that.
And
then, obviously, the COVID stuff.
Mm-hmm. But, actually just had COVID because he couldn't hand out the trophy.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, I guess he tested like negative and whatnot, which was good. It looked like he was like still battling it.
Something seemed off on the video.
Yeah, I think he was just battling it. Like it looked like, I guess he had like a rough time with it. But
I mean, he's not a young guy, right?
No. Like, and it was, dude, like I had no idea that was happening. It happened like 5 seconds before, like production was like, Gary Bettman's here. He's going to hop on with you after this commercial. I was like, what? I was like, thank God Carlin's the host.
Yeah.
That's where like I really appreciated having Carlin as a host because I was like, I don't know what to ask Gary Bettman. Like,
no, but you like, and so I was so surprised watching that because like she did an amazing job. But you and Grizz have like experience doing smaller events. You did like the online stuff, but you guys were able to like quick to come up with questions for the people that came on. And I thought that was...
I was nervous about that, too. Like, Geeky and Savoy.
Yeah, it's like, what do you even ask? You know, like, oh, Gary, what do you do in your free time, you know?
Yeah, what's your favorite versus team? Like, yeah. But, no, yeah, so the event was done. It was back in person again. It was my first year being the voice ever, the play-by-play of it. And I had a lot of fun, man, and I got to meet a lot of people. The crew that qualified this year, vastly different than the crew I like. 2019 was probably my most fun trip in Vegas. A bunch of us went out, like Jeff and CJ 142. You know, Pens went out, and then it was like the qualifiers were like Cooks and John Wayne, and Josh was there. So it was like older guys that qualified, and I was younger, and that was like everyone was under 20, and I'm 30. So like it was like,
dude, it's a young man's game now. We talked about
like,
that. Yeah,
I'm not going out with you now. Like I didn't go out with them at all. But they had a really good time. There was someone they met up a lot. There was a Discord of like 40 people that came down for the event in Montreal, and they went out like every night. Like it was, I got invited, but like shout out to Bobby the dog. He was like the party manager. Like he like made sure all the kids got to, like, if they were going to the casino or whatever, he made multiple trips to the hotel, made sure everyone was there, everyone got back.
Was he
safe.
Like calling the Ubers and stuff?
Yeah, dude, like he was on top of things. The one night they went out to a club and he had like bottle service for him and stuff. Like it was just, I was impressed.
That's
like,
Bobby the Dog 88 on Twitch, right?
Yes. Yeah. Bobby the Dog. So I earned, what's funny? Okay. So I got to, I'm at the height of my popularity of NHL.
It's only downhill from here. Yeah.
It is only downhill, but I got to meet a lot of people that came up to me. I got a really funny story about getting recognized, but, whenever I meet someone in the community, guys, if you ever meet me in the community, if you meet anyone in the community, and if you met on Twitch or YouTube, if you come up, it isn't dumb. Introduce yourself with your tag. Because, like, the first day at rehearsal, I met, like, 10 of them. And I went around and shook all their hands or whatever. And I was like, yo, I'm Jeremy. Yo, I'm Ron or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? I was like,
I'm Ron.
So the next day, I went up to him, like, guys, we're going to do this one more time. I have no idea what your real name is. Like, let's do it again. And then I was like, okay, it's Rampage. Oh, you know, it's all that. Like, it was like much better. So
yeah.
If you, in the future, just if you interact on Twitch, let me know your Twitch tag.
Were there any like any of those like Twitch trolls there? Like those random people that come in and hate on you?
Not really. No. Like there was like it's Crosby. Oh, Crosby. But he's just a little
qualified,
mouthpiece.
Right?
Like,
or was that
he
the
qualified?
Other...
Yeah, and he showed up. He showed up. Saphir was there. BBG was there.
That's the
I love BBG.
That's the major one. Did he have the fork with him? The sport?
He did not. No, he just was a normal kid having a blast.
Yeah, he's
like,
a
he
nice
was just
guy.
Happy to be there. Very nice. But yeah, so it was so busy. I brought my dad. Me and my dad never do anything. Just me and him. I don't think we've ever, like, maybe since I was a kid. He said he wanted to see me cast an event, so I said, okay, why don't we just show you the best one, the biggest one. So I brought him out, and, he's a very, like, reserved guy. Like, he just stays at home, really. He has his local bar that he goes to. Like, he's very, very regular, like, with his stuff. He doesn't really go outside the box and travel and all that kind of stuff. So, but he had a good time, and I had a really good time with him. It was an experience that I will not forget when he is gone that I am very happy that I got to. We went to the draft, and, bruh. I don't know how much you pay attention to the draft, but A, the draft is usually never that big in the building that it's in because usually the team that has it isn't drafting first overall or anything like that, and they're not the Montreal Canadiens, so it's like just insane fan base. And then like all the drama, bro. Slavkovsky goes number one. I don't care if you're a Habs fan listening. I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news. No one at that arena, and I would be willing to bet about 70 or 80% of Montreal Canadiens fans that did not go wanted Shane Wright. So Slavkovsky got booed getting off the bus outside. Like there was like 1,000 people outside before the draft, and Slavkovsky gets off, he got booed. So anyways, there's like all this tension waiting to see who would get drafted, and everyone just assumed it was Shane Wright. So Slavkovsky goes one. It's like, dude, it's this eerie silence. Like everyone's like, and then it's like 5 seconds goes by, and then they're all like, yeah, that's my guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like it was like they cheered. Like the place went nuts. But dude, and then it was like every pick after. So the Devils go too. They don't draft Wright. They draft Nemec, which is probably the right thing for them because they already have their top two line centers. And then third, there was a point at which Shane Wright was going to play in the Bell Center to the College Barn because Arizona picked third. And they took Cooley, and now he fell to fourth. And, dude, his ego, it's like a hit. And like, I think it came off prior to this next moment. I think it was like everyone just kind of seen him as like, you know, like an ego. He said that he was good enough to go first and all this kind of stuff. And maybe he wanted the clout of it. Obviously you do. Like, obviously if you're a player, you want to go first overall. Dude, so Shane Wright gets drafted to Seattle, and I don't know if you've seen the clip yet. He goes and shakes Bettman's hand, and the Canadian's table's right at the front. Bro, right as he turns to go and put the Kraken jersey on, death stare for like
I saw that clip,
second
yeah.
and a half. And I was like, bro, I want this guy to blow up now. I'm fully on board. I got to meet him, too, and he's a very nice kid. I want him. I'm fully on the Shane Wright train. I hope him and Matty Beniers in Seattle. Seattle had an unbelievable draft, which is awesome, as good, it should. Yeah. I can't stand that.
Dude, I don't follow any of the draft in any sport ever, especially hockey. Because I
hockey
always
is
think
like the least impactful the next year.
It's
so,
always
yeah,
a crapshoot, though, because it's like, unless you're like a generational talent or something, and you know you knew McDavid was going to be amazing.
Yep.
But other than that, it's
those
always
picks
random.
Are easy because you know he's going one overall.
Yeah.
So anyway, so and then before the Shane Wright pick comes out, right, at four. So three picks is gone. Dude, Bettman goes back over to the podium. Everyone's just slamming him with boos. And he's like, you guys might want to lay off the boos because I have a trade to announce and both of them involve Montreal. And everyone's like, oh, everyone thought that they traded for the fourth overall pick and we're going to take Shane Wright. Like the place went, it was like they just scored a playoff goal. It was absurd. Like it was so much fun to watch in person. You know, like I said, most drafts are kind of lame and boring probably in person. Like, they're not very – this was absurd. Like, this was – it was crazy. And it's supposed to be one of the weaker drafts, so I guess in the long run it like, probably doesn't, you know. But it was really fun to be at. In terms of the GWC, the kids got to go on the stage. I got to walk on the stage before the draft. I got to go and get a picture and a video of it for my vlog.
I saw the picture awesome. Of you guys walking across, but then I saw all the people that were down below, like, not even facing the stage.
Oh, no, dude. It's like, most important people in the sport are, like, yeah. you know, like, right there. And, like, they had to go do a promo picture on the thing, right? So that was really cool. The GWC as a whole.
I want you to do the behind-the-scenes stuff before we go into the games. Anything else that stuck out?
Like, so the venue, I thought the European venue was the best venue that EA or that GWC has put on, even more than Vegas. So the EU one, I don't know if anyone didn't watch it, it was in like this, it was like a theater, but it was like an esports theater. Like, they set it up there. So the acoustics were great. The seating, it was like theater seating. The stage was really well done. This, they had to work with, like, it was tied to the draft. Tavern, the I think it was called Tavern Modern, is like literally connected to the Bell Center. So it made sense, but they had to basically convert a two-story bar into the GWC finals. So they did a great job with it. But you know, I think that was like, again, I think that it was fine and it looked really good and everything like that. I think that, but I just think if I were to rank like the HyperX studio in Vegas, the European one in Maastricht, and then this would be third. So, but, it does rumblings, rumors that they do have interest in going back to Vegas, which is awesome. Yeah, man, I want to get your thoughts. So as a competitor that like had a chance to like be close, you had a death bracket that and like would have ended up having to face the eventual winner. We'll talk about your like thoughts and what you want to see improvements on it and then a little bit. But in terms of like the behind the scenes stuff, rehearsal took like 8 hours. It was really long. And again, it was because like they were, you know, they had to test a lot of different things there. I went to dinner like every night with my old man. I didn't get in till like 3 a.m. every night, which is tough. Like the day of the broadcast, like I met Pete Blackburn at like 2 a.m. or 1:30 a.m. at a bar right around the corner. Like, he is hilarious and confirmed very short. Which
I've seen
is
the
pictures too.
Is he
it's so short? Funny.
I'm like 5'8". Is he shorter than me?
I'm 5'9". Okay. And yes, like I was like, oh dude, this is great. Fuck, I need you to hang out with me all the time. Like, you know, like he was a really awesome guy to meet. I got to hang out with Jordan from the Isles and a couple other guys from the NHL scene. Kevin NHL, which is the nickname I deemed for him. He was someone that was working behind the scenes his first year doing the GWC. I thought he did a great job. And I'm excited to see him kind of maybe transition to a bigger role at the GWC. And I think he's got a really good ideas, and he's like ambitious with it. You know, I think that the guys that were running it the last 5 years, great job of creating it. You know, kind of got dealt every bad hand with COVID, and then when COVID like ends enough, EA releases four separate consoles. So like they could never get like momentum. Like 19, I remember it was like, man, this thing's gonna become awesome. Like I remember meeting the guys that worked for the Madden competitive team, and the Madden League is like one of the best in terms of
it's, 1v1. Yeah, it's like 10 years ahead right now.
Exactly, and they were the Madden team was literally in Vegas, and was asking me questions back when I was like a nobody, just like my thoughts on it and like how they should run it, and it sounded like they wanted to go to like 32 team tournaments, and then COVID just derailed the whole thing. And even this year, COVID still impacted it quite a bit because they wanted to do Worlds. They wanted to bring Aki or the winner over to face. But in December, like, I think a lot of people, they don't understand that, like, when legal is involved, it is so frustrating to do literally anything when a legal department is involved. So, like, in December, they have to release this legal doc. If you went and signed up for the GWC, it was, like, 15 pages long. That has to be ironed out before you go and register because they can't have you register for an event and then change things in the background, right? Like afterwards. I mean, it says subject to change, but like the major points of it, they can't really change. So Omicron was like gigantic at the time. This is like right in December, right? So they had to be like, hey, we can't bring them over. Like we don't know what the rules are, what it's going to be like in June and July. And that was tough, right? But they have a huge interest in doing that, at least it seems so. Hopefully next year we get back to Worlds and maybe we see Eki versus Regs. I know. So Jordan is the guy running the manager for Isles GT, which is the gaming team for the New York Islanders. And if it wasn't for him, the lack of team involvement is just so sad because it's right there. Like, you know, NHL puts on this tournament. There's no requirements from the NHL teams and it's like just free engagements. Like, every social media team for the NHL, every NHL team, literally just missed out on free advertising and, like, a good story, you know? Because there's nothing going on. Unless you're the Colorado Avalanche or the Tampa Bay Lightning, you had nothing going on. Your accounts are just sitting there until the draft of free agency. So, it was a shame. But Jordan went above and beyond and went out to both events. And, again, I consider him a close friend now. And so interested in growing like NHL esports and making sure the Islanders, really pushed Eki and Regs. And I thought that they did a great job. He's very well represented, and I hope to see that more teams kind of take that. That maybe not as aggressive, like as involved, because he is at the hyper end of involved, but at least a little bit. And I think that they can learn a lot. So I had a couple meetings with NHL teams about some future things that I can't discuss, but I'm excited about. But my next like chapter in terms of broadcasting, I think that's the one thing, I don't like hearing my own voice. I think that, I don't know if many creators do. I hate hearing my voice in the broadcast. I can never watch a broadcast back. But I got told enough by people that I respect enough that I should continue to grow that. So I'm going to try and host things that aren't just NHL. I'd love to host like, you know, a Call of Duty event or, you know, a Halo event, things like
that.
Oh,
you did really good. I mean, you know that because you got that feedback from whoever, but like you didn't miss a beat whenever it came to the gameplay and the play.
Yeah, I think it'd be really fun, something that interests me. And it never, and I'm not going to lie, when I started casting like esports events, it was like literally, you know, there's like four ways to make money in the NHL video game space. And if I want to make this my full-time job, I need to have everyone. So like that was the only reason. I really didn't have a huge interest in it. It just kind of grew and I kind of got to like as high as I could go in this space. Like I guess I could be the host and the play-by-play, but like I don't think that works as a broadcast. So it was really good. I don't know what else behind the scenes.
There was only from the, like the viewer perspective, there was only like one hiccup and I think it lasted like 10 to 15 minutes and there was like a point where the stream got really laggy for everybody watching.
I guess, yeah, there was, I don't know if that's just due to the, where the venue was.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's like, yeah, I mean, like, I think that DreamHack, they did a really good job dealing with what they had available to them, because they were at the mercy of whatever the NHL wants, right? And I think that's, just from what it seems like, they had to kind of scramble in terms of venues. Again, COVID was a big thing in Montreal. So, like when you're trying to plan a venue for an event, like back in like March, you don't know if that's like going to work, things like that. So they did the best they could. But yeah, definitely, it definitely didn't did have a hiccup there for a little while. But I thought that Jens from DreamHack specifically, he was like our the guy in our ear, made it very easy on us. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, other than that, I mean, I think that's sometimes to be expected, too, during, like, things that last for, you know, however long that is. It's a five-hour stream, I think. And if there's only, like, 10 minutes.
That was
like,
long.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I was trying to keep up, like, the energy, and I texted Kevin, like, right before Regs and Ecky or Regs and Gren went on, and I'm like, dude, I need this to be 2-0. Of course it wasn't, because like, I felt like I was going to pass out, because I was just screaming, trying to keep his energy as high as I could, and I don't take breaks. So, like, in between, if there's a commercial or something, I don't leave to go to the bathroom. I don't get something to eat. I very even rarely drink and drink any water. And it was just, like, I was getting a little lightheaded. Like, I was just like, I need this to end, you know? Like, and it was fine. It did. And it went well. The scary part is calling the end. Jens, I'll never forget, in Europe, he's like, just don't screw up the ending. He's like, of all the things, he's like, you cannot screw up the ending, because that's what they'll use in promos in the future. That's what they'll use as like the big thing on Twitter, Instagram, all of it. He's like, do not do that. So I memorized the ending call, which was good. And yeah, it was good. It was fun. Regs won. And a crazy series. It went 3. I thought that, and even in the game 1, it looked like it was just nuts. I think that this needs to be said, that I've learned now from competitive NHL. To all of the people that complain that this game is luck-based, we had the same two kids be 1-2 3 years in a row. And that simple, and when you think of the game that we play and how luck is involved, and there are games that are determined by a flick up and a random goal and it just being dead, you know what I mean? But like, to overcome all of that in best
three
of
years in a row,
3 years in a row, I think that says enough. I think that if you put in enough time and you have enough talent and you have enough instinct, it will not matter at the end of the day, 9 times out of 10. So, you know, again, Gren and Regs, what's sickening is that there could be a fourth year. So as the bracket was going on, like, part of me is like, I love a new champion. The same thing with real hockey. I love like a new champion. I hate seeing repeats for the most part, but it was the same thing as Tampa this year. We're never going to see 3 Stanley Cup champions again in a row, probably in our lifetime, just how the salary cap works and how, you know, the bubble and all of that worked out for Tampa. But I don't think, I don't know, but the GMC keeps going on. Like, you know, I don't think we'll ever see something like that.
A different winner is if it goes back to each other. Or like USA and Canada separate. Whenever you have both of those combined, it doesn't allow for some of the, you know, other people to maybe make the top 2 or top 4. Because Gren and Regs are clearly better than everybody else, right? And they're going to go through everybody else and meet each other in the finals unless they get unlucky and have to play earlier. But those older formats allowed, I think, some other people to make it further.
Yeah. There was definitely, like, I'll even say this, Lebanese man, who was like the guy that kind of the odd man out this year, who definitely took advantage, or not took advantage, he won the games he needed to.
Yeah.
He had a little bit easier bracket because of PlayStation 4, and some of the better people in the community got banned. But you can't fault him for that. He took Geimer to 3 games. And I thought that Geimer, he in his series versus Gren, I think he got 2-0'd.
No, it went to 3.
It did go to 3. Sorry.
Yeah.
His game,
so
he
that's
beat
actually
Gren.
The one I have to say, I was completely wrong on Geimer.
Yeah.
Because
I said last podcast,
I was like, I wasn't impressed with his play.
Yeah.
That second game, he out TOA'd Gren like 12-3. And he had like the short end of the straw in terms of like bounces over like the course of the series too.
It was, I said this to him while he was on stage. I was like, man, that was the best game. It's funny because like I've been doing this long enough, but I haven't been there since the start. So like 2020 was really like my first year. So NHL 20 was my first year being somewhat involved in the GWC.
Yeah.
And I've watched like him. I remember playing him at a tournament in like Hamilton or in Toronto. It was like a little tiny land. And like I used to beat him. I remember seeing him and meeting him and then watching him play and become better at the game. I was like, dude, I've watched you basically in every single tournament for the last 3 years. That was by far the best game. And it's wild how confident he is now.
Yeah, I know, right? Completely different person.
I think that's a super important thing. You saw what happened when you don't have confidence. Like, Polgs and Gren, sad that wasn't on stream. Pogues had all the pressure in the world on him. His whole family was there. I think that he was thinking a little bit too much about, he won't admit that, but like, it just seemed like that. Like, he was thinking he wanted to win for his mom. You know, his mom has had a couple of health scares. You know, very good story so far. Like, you know, she's healthy now, or healthier now. And I think that, you know, he had a really big support, but I think he really wanted to make it that second day. And he did fine in game one, but then after, like, the second period, he just got flooded, and he couldn't keep his composure at all. And then I feel like when you play Regs or Gren, if you're not somewhat even Benny took Regs to game three. Dude, I got, like, dude, there was, again, that was off stream, and that's something I guess I want to talk about a little bit in terms of format changes. But it was just really good. I think that it was really fun. I thought that the best player won. I have never seen Regs play like that before, and Regs has been the best for a while.
Yeah,
game
no, dude, it's
two
scary
and three
how,
was.
It's scary that he's the best, like, skilled player. He's the smartest player easily, and I'm glad that so GWC has actually knowledgeable people calling the games, and you and Grizz called it out. That play he was doing with Kucherov with gold one key, where he would cycle his defenseman down to get Kucherov at the point. Nobody else is doing that. He's the smartest player, and he's the most skilled. Like, I don't get
anyone,
how good he is.
I know. For anyone that doesn't know, about, or maybe we didn't watch, so it was the Hut draft happens in the GWC. So at the final 16, they drafted a team of basically versus ratings. So you only have like three or four really good cards on your team, and defense, there was really no D to D's that went in cleanly. But so what Kucherov is like a high 90 shot. So what Regs would do is he would pull Kucherov all the way around until he was at the point, and he would get it back to him, and he had like make it snappy on, and maybe it does something.
Yeah,
we
well,
don't
he had
think
silver one T on him too,
and silver one T, and he was just ripping him on like. And there was a play. I want everyone to go back and watch this. It's in game three. And it's basically the goal that starts to flood Gren. Gren's on the power play, and Regs is shorthanded. Regs literally look. I know because I know he does this because I've had him on my channel breaking down his game, so I know how crazy minute and how the attention to detail he has. When you're killing a penalty, how often do you think about the guy coming out of the box?
Yeah, it's not often in the game.
When
right?
it's
Some
in your zone, like
yeah.
I'm not talking you have control. Like he had gotten the puck right back at the last second, knew that his guy was coming to the box, saucered it all the way across the ice. Gren was there, but he saucered it, and it went right over his stick, and he had a breakaway out of the box. And I remember watching it when like in real time, being like, oh my God, like the scoreboard's on the bottom now, which is awful. And like, it's not native to like where you're trying to go. Like you're trying to go up screen and you have to look down, which is like, that's what's my biggest issue with the scoreboard. And I was just like, wow, and that made it 3-0, and that was basically the game. Like,
and every small thing he did, like, so he mentioned on stream, I think, and then in some of the interviews, Shekel was helping him out. I don't know how much Shekel helped him out, but I've known Shekel for probably 13 years in the community. He's signed to the Isles Gaming as a goalie, and Shekel's a smart guy. And Regs added in like the rebounds to his game this year, and different shots, and I think that might be something that Shekel helped him out on. A little bit, because Regs like perfected.
You've never seen that.
No, you haven't seen that from him the last few years. Him adding that this year like made him that much better.
Yeah, because like every goal is so important at that stage, and anytime you can get one, like it's so like, and especially in 22, because there was the least amount of I don't want to say skilled goals. There was the least amount of quote unquote glitch goals that you could set up. And again, I think that it's bad for the competitive play because you could just sit in the middle and you're waiting for something lucky to happen. I think that certain glitch goals or certain, I want to say mechanic goals that require you to have an advanced knowledge of the mechanics of the game. There was very little of that. So like the one with Pogues where he would drag the goaltender left and right and go back far side post is basically the only one.
Like, yeah, I don't think we saw any, because we saw Gren go for that side of the net where you skate into the goalie and it didn't go in.
No, he tried it though.
He did try it, and it almost went in. I think it went across
the
goal
line. It almost
went
in. It went right through the crease.
Yeah, we didn't see any wraparounds. We didn't, like, there were no glitch goals besides that Pogues one, and that's more of a skill-based goal.
Yep, and that isn't a bad thing, like, for the most part, but I think it leads to a big reason is why every game, this year more than any other NHL game, when you lost, okay, I'm trying to word this correctly, there was more games where you lost and you felt like you should have won than any other game. Because time on attack doesn't mean everything, because it means that you're just holding onto the puck and maybe you're ozone ragging. But you can tell when you should have won a game and someone just scores, comes down and scores a hockey goal. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, taking a slap shot and it just bam, bounces off of something and in. Like, that's really what determined. And we talked about this a ton. Like, save percentages and goaltenders, if you go back and look at the last four games that you guys have played, I'm willing to bet that the save percentage of your main goaltender is far higher than any other year. Because goals, like, you just don't, there's not very many unique ways to score. Unique ways to score. So, but we'll see about 23. Who knows? Let's talk quickly about, like, what would you like to see in terms of, like, format changes?
Yeah, dude, I was watching Daddy Padre and John Wayne.
Well, also, if you haven't listened to the Gap Year podcast, you got to go listen to that.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of that because they had Grizz on there, your co-commentator. Pulgs was on there, and I think Uninstall. Yep. And they brought up some of the things I'd mentioned before. I want to see, like, obviously you want 32 teams to be active and have qualifiers. and I think it was Uninstall that said it, or maybe it was Pulgs. Have two teams run a tournament each week, like, for qualifiers, you know? Something like that where you can sign up for that team to be represented by that team, compete in an open bracket. And then at the end of the year, they have 32 representatives, and that's how GWC works. Some kind of thing that feeds into the year-end tournament.
I think that, I spend a lot of time working with or hanging out and spending a lot of my time this year with the people in power, I guess, right? And I hate that, like, whenever I, like, explain why something can't work, people think that I don't want it to.
Yeah, no.
Right? So I want to make that clear because,
they,
like,
ask all the teams to be, involved, right? And the teams,
yeah, so like the first thing that comes up is like, yeah, 32 team tournaments would be amazing, and I think that that's what they would really love.
Yeah,
unfortunately they can't mandate that, so what of would course. Happen is you would get the St. Louis Blues or the Arizona Coyotes being like, we're not putting money into this, and now you're like, okay, so then the NHL has to front it for them, and then you're then the Columbus Blue Jackets are like, hey, why are we fronting this when you're doing it for that, you know what I mean? Like, it leads to a snowball. I did listen to their podcast, and I think one of the things that I think would make sense is if the NHL ran 32 tournaments.
Of course.
Not the teams. And the player that won picked their team.
Which is the same thing, essentially, just worded differently.
Essentially, yeah. It's just there isn't individual tournaments, right? Yeah. So by the team run. Which is interesting. What I've found the most interesting this year, but again, like, you have to consider, like, EA loves this format. Like,
why? Because there's not that much work all year.
If you wipe out the GWC, the interest at the high level, we're not talking about, like, for anyone that's listening that doesn't compete in the GWC, I'm not saying that, like, you guys don't matter. Definitely do, because it's fun to compete in, see how, you know, you might surprise yourself and do well. I think that's big to grow the GWC, right? But, like, I lost my train of thought.
That's easy to happen on here.
Yeah. Oh my God, what was I going to say?
You were saying EA loves it because the competitive
community. Oh, EA loves it because the whole year. Like, the longer it goes, the more that the players that have to want to win or that have a shot at winning, they have to keep grinding. They have to keep doing hut champs to get packs. They have to keep, you know what I mean? Like, they have to keep at it. And EA loves that. And, you know, there's a relationship with EA. Because when you, again, knowing, like, the back end, when you watch a GWC broadcast, on ice, the GWC logo is in there, and Dunkin' Donuts is on the boards, and, like, that's huge to sell to a sponsor that runs a $150,000 tournament, right? So that's another annoyance, in my opinion, like, because you have to, because I truly think that, like, as a viewer, I think HUD is still the best, because it gives you the most amount of engagements, it allows the most signups, it's the most played 1v1 mode, so it makes it unique in terms of, like, you know, players and whatnot you have on your team. But the problem is that the broadcast doesn't show it. It doesn't show. They mentioned that on Padres podcast. Like, they don't show the 99 hut part.
No, they don't.
This year,
all year too, but they don't. Yeah, show it.
And they don't show it. So, like, they're playing with versus teams that are drafted. So, I mean, if you ran 32 versus tournaments, and then at the 32 stage, maybe every team. I would love, after doing, so the IHF tournament is like a whole other thing. I think it's the best tournament. But something that's missing and clearly an issue is that they can't use their own countries because it's a competitive disadvantage. So like Canada is far better than everyone else just because of the overall ratings. If you could have a competitive balancing, they have it in FIFA, where whatever team you choose has 85s across the board, that would be huge. And imagine if like you chose the Anaheim Ducks and you got a Zegras that's 85 overall. You know what I mean? Like, and then, you know, you go from there, because I know I listened to, I talked to a few guys that that like literally work for NHL teams that are like, we don't understand why Johnny Gaudreau is playing for the Islanders or things like that. And that's a tough sell. That makes it, you know, it's a little weird, right? But I think that's all things that they definitely want to work on. The four console thing was super tough. I would love to see it go next gen only next year.
I understand this year.
I understand why this year. You can't, it was less than 50% of the player base played on new gen this year. So like, you can't be like, hey, you can only compete in our tournament if you have a $500 console. Now consoles are much more widely available. If you want to be among the best in the world, you got to compete with the best. And that's unfortunately, like, that's just, you know, it is what it is, right? Like, yeah, like, I would love to see something like the Halo Championship Series. So, I don't know if you fall, like, I love the Halo Championship Series this year because it brought back vibes of when I competed in like, 2008. And what they do is, like, three majors and a couple of minor online tournaments, and they get points, pro points. And then at the end, you at a certain amount qualify for like the grand, like the, you know, the finals in Orlando, and I would love something like that. Like, imagine, like, let me ask you this, like, because again, then I think I'm just thinking of like the arguments, like, I, you know what I mean, from like the other side, right? But imagine you had like a tournament that was like connected to, they love tournaments connected to events. Which makes sense. So, like, the Winter Classic is the first thing I think of. Like, imagine you had a LAN, maybe an online hut qualifier in December, and the final two, the winner of each console, gets flown to the Winter Classic, and they get an auto bid to the grand finals, but they play for $5,000, $3,000.
The money doesn't matter. And exactly. You get a free trip to the Winter Classic. I don't think the money should be important, because I don't think, like, besides regs and Gren, you know, you don't have a chance to win it anyway. but yeah, that'd be perfect. All those things feeding into the next one.
And you have the All-Star game.
And I
same think, situation. You run it online like Hut if you want. Because I know, again, they're not going to get rid of EA's involvement. Like, it just doesn't, it wouldn't make any sense for them, for either of them.
But I think the NHL should work on expanding their roster of talent too whenever it comes to that, because they can't have you and Grizz calling every event, right?
No.
And I know, and I think this year, you know, they not that it was a step back, because I know you heard that. It's like, oh, where's Arda and Nasher, right? But they kind of built you guys up this year and you guys did a great job. So I think if they move to more events, they gotta bring on a little bit more talent in terms of, like, you know, maybe, you know, you call the three major ones, and then they have people that are training or just getting more exposure and building up the community for some of the smaller ones too. The main goal should be, people love saying creating personalities or whatever, just getting people out there more, you know, and that's what having, like, all those events would do.
I'm wondering, like, so, like, even the logistics of running 32 tournaments, like, that's I don't know what the issue, like, so you got to think, like, let's say we're planning 32 tournaments, right? Based on math, like, so there's 4 weeks in a year, or in a month, October, you can't start, the game launches in the middle of the month. So say it starts in November, okay? November, December, January, February, March, right? So 5 times 4, that's only 20 tournaments. So that means you're running, like, 2 tournaments a weekend, okay? The admin requirement of that, let's say they use Battlefy, like, what does that cost look like? Do they even have, like, the capability of that with other tournaments they're doing? Like, do they have the infrastructure to handle 32 tournaments in the span of, like, you know, 20 weeks essentially, right? Like, is that all, like, you know, because I think that is the best way, because I think that you can't have region-based lands or region-based term. You can't have the Anaheim Ducks throw a tournament for the Anaheim Ducks and in a certain region you can qualify and be a Duck. That would be great. Imagine every team had a pro player, like a pro quality player. That would be the ultimate goal. And then, because then the Ducks can be like, we're promoting our guy. We're following him. The Ducks fan, he could bring him out to Ducks games, like what they do with the Islanders players. Get him behind them, put a face to it. And then when the GGC comes around, like you got teams, like the Anaheim Ducks fans being like, yo, I want to see my guy win, right? That's not going to happen. Unfortunately, I apologize to anyone out in Anaheim. There's no one that's going to be even come over close, probably in the top 50, maybe even 100 in the world or, you know, in comparison.
I mean, you'd have Thrash Gaming be the rep for Detroit and then, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I think Jost might take that one. But
no, like, I'm saying if they just picked who, like, the, you know, the popular guy was.
I am okay with, because, like, that's a whole other thing. Like, so region-based events, that's not going to happen. Like, it just won't because it doesn't make any sense for them. And it would lead to a worse competitive tournament, which I don't think we should want. I think that you either want to become super competitive or you want to go full fan engagement. And again, Padre echoed this. Like, Padre said that. Like, that makes a lot of sense. You got to decide. And I think that, like, you know, they do the best they can. But I think that this year, I think a format change definitely is needed. And I think that they're looking at all options. I can tell you that. Like, I know that they're looking at whatever they could do to make the best one. I just don't think, like, 32 teams, 32 tournaments is going to be a thing.
Yeah. I think for our sake and the community in general, anybody that's a content creator, fan engagement would be the way to go.
Did you ever watch
Madden Nation when it was on TV, like, 15, 16 years ago?
I did not, no.
Yeah, so they they had like a bus, and these like 12 professional Madden players would go around the country, representing like a player. So like Chad Johnson, he had a professional player attached to him, and that guy would be in the tournament, and he could only use the Bengals. Obviously, it was a competitive disadvantage if he was playing against back then. Maybe it was like the Raiders were a good Madden team, but it was more for the engagement side, right? The best player eventually won. Like, if Riggs was in this tournament as the Anaheim Ducks, he probably would have won, you know? But I don't think it's bad. I don't think valuing that over the competitive side is a bad thing. I think it's probably better for the longevity of whatever.
I think if you want to, yeah, like, that's another thing, right? Like, if you go full to the competitive aspect, I respect that because, like, I want the best player to win. But here's the problem. The best player has literally won the last 3 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
But the other, like, 10, maybe the 10 behind it, haven't been the best. Which is, like, you know, again, in a perfect world, you want number 1 through 50 in the correct order, right? But some, and again, sometimes hockey happens, but, like, the format has made it where, like, that isn't really the case all the time. But we'll see what happens. I'm excited. I think that, like I said, the vibes I got is that next year is going to be the best GWC. My, like, feedback personally was, like, an early roadmap to exactly, like, it doesn't have to be dates, months. Like, you know what I mean? Like, here are the things. And just more throughout the year. I think, again, a lot of people talk about the game being, GWC happening at the end of the year when the game is, like, at its weakest point. And that's true. But tying it to an event allows the NHL to lean on maybe sponsors. And, again, like, you know, just fan engagement from the actual thing. Like, it's very easy. For them, it's an easy marriage for content-wise. But if that's the case, there's a couple events throughout the year. Like, there's a Winter Classic, there's the All-Star Game, and I believe there's Stadium Series. So, like, all in the middle, like, right there, and then that could lead into the finals. I mean, I would even be okay if, like, if Jordan from the Islanders is able to get Regs and Gren to fly out for a final match. It won't happen until after 23 is out, because they wouldn't be able to do it until, like, the season is on, right? So they're playing 2022's or NHL 22's like grand world finals, right? On NHL 23, right? So it's not gonna be like the true thing. But imagine that's like the spectacle, and then you also just tied an event like a qualifier, like a major to it, right? I think that would be cool for both parties. Like, I think that'd be sweet. The Islanders get like their promo of like the two winners, like they had the best two players in both regions play and find out who were there. You know, champion was overall. And then you also get the NHL, the GWC for next year, like in at that same place. And UBS is like it's a castle. Okay. Like, it would be a great place to host an event. But, you know, we'll see. I'm excited for NHL esports over the next year. I hope the game is better and I hope that it happens earlier, which I know it will. I can almost confirm that it will happen far earlier and the format will be different. So no matter what, I don't know if it's good or bad. I would assume it's good. Like I said, this year feels like it's the most they're going to put behind it to really try and flush it out. And I'm excited. I think they have a really good guy and a team leading the way in that. And I've had the pleasure of being pretty involved with them. And again, like I just feedback back and forth. And I'm really excited to see the things that are going to go on next year. Because no matter what, they will be better, you know, in terms of the format.
Yeah, no, that's exciting to hear. Yeah, I hope they listen to the right people. And it sounds like they're starting to. Past few years with COVID and everything, it's understandable.
It was just done to be done. Like they were just trying to get through it. Like it was tough, and they did a great job at it. But like it was like you could tell like they were just trying to make it keep happening, which says a lot. You know what I mean? Like that's you can't fault the NHL because they're probably not getting a ton out of it, and they like you know like they did the due diligence to make sure there's five straight years of it during a pandemic.
Dude, you know what's crazy, though? I wonder what Madden's getting out of it, though. Because, like, like obviously it's a bigger game. But they EA? Run... What's that?
What do you mean, EA or Madden?
Like, EA. Like, okay, what they get out of it. Just because they run 32 different, like, team tournaments. And I'm pretty sure they have, like, the team finals in person. Obviously, it probably changed during
Redwood.
COVID.
I'm at the Redwood studio, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty crazy.
Do the team tournaments for Madden run? Like, what's it's got to be. How often are there tournaments for Madden?
So they're ladder based online. So like you select who you want to try to qualify for. So like okay. If I pick the Steelers, there might be like a week or two long leaderboard that you play in, and it's like the top 64 that selected the Steelers, playing like a closed bracket. It's partially online. And then I think like the final eight maybe are flown to their studio and they play it on stream.
32 times.
I'm pretty sure. Last time I followed it, obviously that changed during COVID whenever some of it went just completely online. But yeah, 32 team tournaments. And then after that, they break it down and then like the club winners, like the people that won the championship for each team, play against each other. And then they have like a final club champion. And then outside of that, they also have other tournaments too. So like that's all through Ultimate Team, but they'll have like a regulation team like versus tournament as well.
There's I think that's because the EA has a specific division for it. So like the EA competitive team is like legitimately a section of EA Sports, and like they would, I don't know where the funds would come from that. Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking too, because EA is such a profit driven company. I mean, what company isn't, but EA especially?
They fall over themselves.
Yeah, they have to be making something off that, because they do get some pretty big sponsors off that. And it's kind of crazy. I don't know if you've watched any of it, but they'll have like a lot of like former pro players eventually get into like commentating. They have to do the production on those is crazy.
I would love like a Hall of Fame.
A Hall of Fame?
Like a GWC like Hall of Fame.
Oh, that'd be something, wouldn't it?
Like Gren and Regs are just like in it forever.
Oh yeah, Gren, Regs, Eki. Cookie's in there, John Wayne's in there.
John's definitely in there, yep. I think it'd just be like that'd be cool. I mean, we're going into year six. You know what I mean? Like it would be I don't know. There was something like I had heard from one of the kids. Like, what if the NHL teams that have like an esports org, like the Blue Jackets, let's say, what if they just picked their representative? Like they picked Cookie. They would pick Cookie. Okay. And he automatically qualifies for the GWC, the 32 team portion of it, right? Let's say they go back to NHL 20, 21, where every team had a representative. The pros and cons to that is like, A, he didn't have to qualify. So he doesn't, you know what I mean? Maybe he's not one of the best, but B, he's going to get pushed. Like, if he gets pushed by the NHL the team, like, that's what I think that is. I'm so let down by the NHL teams because these kids, like, it's their choice to grind the game, right? But, like, man, they select these teams. Like, Jose is a Red Wings fan from Michigan. Like, that's his team. Like, you can't, like, that might be him and Pogues for the Leafs. Is probably because, like, obviously, Regs likes the Islanders, but I believe
he's a Bruins fan, right?
I think he's a Bruins fan. I think he grew up a Bruins fan. I honestly think he might be an Islander fan now. Like, he's done, Jordan's done a great job.
Yeah, they've got a lifelong fan now.
Yeah, but like, other than that, man, like, you know, it's there isn't a lot of, like, perfect marriages. Like, there isn't.
And, no, and then you have some areas that are just, like, you couldn't really pick a Leafs guy, though, right? Like, because they had, like, Pogues and Saphir this year.
But, I mean, what if they did? Like, the other guys are still open. There's like, the thing so where what would
it
happen?
Goes back to what do you value, engagement or the competitive side, right?
But, I mean, I don't think anyone would complain if Pogues was the Leaf one, is what I mean.
Yeah, I get.
I mean, I guess he didn't prove, like, he wouldn't have to, like, because, like, there's a very strong chance that he doesn't make it just because of how difficult the bracket is.
I know, but you also have, like, you have a lot of good, like, Josh was banned this year. I think that's his region.
I guess that would be his region. Yeah.
Saphir, like, you know.
His region might be Winnipeg, to be honest with you.
Who?
Winnipeg.
Who, Josh?
It's close. Thunder Bay?
Oh, but I guess no, he's from Toronto. My Canadian geography is terrible.
Yeah, he's from Toronto. So yeah. It'd be interesting, but like we'll have to wait and see, man. I think I had a lot of fun, and I'm like I said, I'm very excited for next year's GWC. Hopefully, I'm involved again. Like I hope that I'm involved again, but even if I'm not, like it just sounds like there will be more emphasis put on throughout the year, as opposed to okay, it's December, we're announcing it. Okay, it's March. Now we got to, you know what I mean? Here's 2 months of, like, just every weekend, right? Like, and I hope that's the biggest change. I loved when they went to Hutt for the aspect that it's in-game. Like, they have to go sign up on Battlefy, but, like, that's it. They're in-game, and it's very simple. You get way more players in, but if you're going to allow that, they have to do something to highlight them. And I don't know how, like, it just... It's tough. And I think it'll be ironed out over this year, but I would love to see like the major route. I think that the Halo way would be an interesting one. Again, three majors where all of those majors, there's tournaments and then like
yeah,
the top
qualify
two
online for that, play the finals at the tournament,
yeah, play the finals in LAN, you know? At those events.
Yeah. And then
they get promoted out the
It can feed into that final event, whether it's at like the Stanley Cup finals or something or at whatever, it can feed into the, you know, follow the NHL year long. That'd be perfect.
I agree, man. But this is probably a really boring podcast for anyone that isn't interested in the GWC.
Aren't they all?
I mean, I guess that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for everyone that listens, by the way. We love
anything
you.
Else NHL related?
I don't know. I'm terrified for 23 news. I gotta say.
I'm not.
I am. What do you? Why aren't you?
What worst case scenario? It's 22, right?
That is. Devastating news. That's not worst
case scenario. What are the chances it's 22?
I guess it can't be worse. I literally can't be, in terms of Hutt, like it can't be worse.
Yeah.
So, and I hope gameplay improves a little bit, but like that might be my bias, but I guess that's true.
Yeah.
All right.
Here's what I was thinking.
Off
topic here. So my friend called me up last night and he works in like tech. But he's like wants to like find a different career. I don't know. And I was thinking how bad it sucks in life that you just can't try things for like 3 months at a time. You know, like hypothetically, like I work in finance. Like I'm kind of locked into my career. I think I'd be good at marketing. I mentioned that before on the podcast. I would like to try that for like a firm for like 3 months. Make the same amount I do now. Just try it out for three months.
Okay. Make the same amount. Dude, you went to school for 6 years to get the same amount you make now. You're going to be like, yo, I want you guys to pay me the exact same to do an entry level.
I don't want to do entry level. I want to do like whatever is equal to my role now. I want to do that in another place. But like, I think the skills transfer in a lot of things. I think degrees are overrated in the sense that you're not really learning. You're just paying for whatever.
You're paying for the paper. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I've graduated. It's not like I never use. I mean, I didn't really use it.
Yeah, like I'm 29. You're like 31. Like I think, and I bet you do now too. After you got into commentating, you're like learning a lot about business in general, and those life lessons you're learning are applicable to almost everything in business.
Oh, I'm fairly certain I could be a social media manager for a company.
Time out. Obviously, you could because that. Did you read that story about that EA tweet from like a week ago?
Dude, the EA thing? Oh my God. Yeah, dude, EA thing?
Yeah. So, if nobody saw, there was a Twitter meme for a minute. And it was like, she's a 10, but she does this thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, the EA account tweeted out, she's a 10, but she only plays single player games.
Yeah.
And it was just people roasting them just because EA has a ton of single-player games, you know?
Yeah, like Star Wars Fallen Order is like one of the best single-player games in the last like 4 years.
Yeah, so it's like there was this article behind the scenes on what actually was happening at EA, like some of the employee reactions.
This is great.
And it was just like some regular dude that tweeted it out. Like there was no management there. There was nothing. And this is a billion-dollar company, right? Multi-billion-dollar company. So, yeah, I'm fully confident you or I could go in and manage the social media team to not do
Dude,
that.
But did you see, like, why that was tweeted? Like, the rumor?
What was the rumor?
EA higher-ups, like, higher-ups in EA said, let's make a marketing campaign where we flame our the single-player developers and then release, like, better, like, a great big content fix.
Yeah, so
as, like,
article,
a way
though,
to get huge amount of interest.
That article said that that wasn't true. They went,
okay, thank
after
God.
That was tweeted, they had to figure out a plan to address it and make it look like it was intentional.
Thank God.
Which is even worse.
What a mess.
But isn't that even worse? So, like...
I don't understand. Like, I don't understand how that happens.
So you or I couldn't go in and do that job? For X amount.
I've almost applied to the Ice Dogs a couple times. I would, my next, focus, if it ever came available, and I will reach out this year, I would love to be the radio guy for the Ice Dogs. Like, I would love to try it in the OHL. Like, there really isn't much lower of a league to try.
Yeah, but here's the issue with that, though, is that I don't know what the pay is, but
I don't care about the pay.
You don't care about the pay, right? Mm-hmm. But realistically, if you had the support, you know, whoever... I know you guys have the dual income family.
Well, that's the thing about becoming self-employed, though, right? Like, you have to, when you want to go and chase your passion project, I've said this a lot, and it'll be in my book eventually. Like, as you get older, like, your responsibilities, as they increase, it means that your line at which you can leave what you're doing, it goes up. Your income that you have to make in your hobby has to go up to make sure that at minimum, you eat ramen noodles, you work 22 hours a day, that's on you. Like, that's fine. But if you have a wife or kids or a mortgage, they can't be impacted because they didn't sign up for that.
That's right? And that's unless not you feasible have for most people, though. That's my point. Yep. If you guys, if you and your wife were at a different point where you guys had a kid, you couldn't do that. You can be like, hey, I'm going to go.
I wouldn't have done what I did, no.
Yeah, I'm going to go call the Ice Dogs games. I'm getting paid $32,000 a year, and that's it. And,
I would be paid, but yeah, it wouldn't be a lot. Like, so dude, I did all the esports broadcasts for free. Everyone I did was for free, and it finally paid off. And like, that's just, I think that's the majority of what things that happen to in life, dude. I didn't get my first YouTube check for like 3 years.
Oh, of course. Right? I totally get that. And it's the same thing in like, I mean, if you're in like the corporate side, like I worked a lot of shitty jobs to get the experience I needed. But like at this point, like I can't afford to do that. But like I know I'm more than qualified to go do a different type of job, you know?
Like if you were the same situation you're at right now, 6 years ago, okay, you're not married yet. You're just out of college or university. Like you haven't gone and got your master's or anything like that, right? You don't own your home and you don't have a kid on the way. Like you could potentially be like, hey, I'm going to take a year. You're not really risking much
gap
other
year,
than
yeah.
time. You take a gap year. Yeah, that's, I guess that isn't like an adult gap year. If for anyone that doesn't know, I told my wife, give me 2 years. If worse comes to worse, I just go be a bus driver. My old man is a operations manager in Niagara Transit. I could just go be a bus driver, make $70,000-$80,000 a year. And that'd be it. That's it. Like, you know, okay, my only responsibility is my wife. So basically my goal, once my hobby, so Twitch and YouTube, basically for my first year, I earned $1,000 a month. But that made me, like, take care of my portion of what I owed for, like, our rent and everything like that. So I wasn't costing my wife anything. And, like, very, very worked out, right? But, like, during that, like, I worked, like, 18-hour days of, like, making videos and stuff like that. And... But, like, yeah, like, if I had a kid and things like that, I wouldn't have been able to do what I did. Or I would have had to wait until I'm, like, here. Like, dude, I can't imagine, like, the amount of, like, I wouldn't have slept for the last 6 years.
Yeah,
if I had
scary.
A job on
yeah.
top. Because I was working 40 hours a week doing, you know, streaming and then making videos. But it wasn't, like, as much as what I'm
yeah,
doing
and
right
then
now.
You were going to your soul-crushing job.
Exactly. Like, so it was, like, dude, it was just a bad, bad mix. Oh, man, but... That's for another podcast. Are you a top five? What's our top five? No top five. I'll tell you what. Next week's top five will be our most wanted features added into NHL 23. Okay, so that's a big one. That'll probably be like a 30-minute one. And if you're listening to this, and you're still listening to this, you're a real one. I want to know that you're a real one. I want you guys to tell me your top five in the comment section, and we'll scroll through, and we'll see how many we're off by or we're even in touch with the community anymore.
We're probably not.
I don't know, man. Like, after the whole AP thing, I just wish I had the ability to speak as EA to explain why I shouldn't, like, you know what I mean? Like, why... that'll be one of the worst things that'll ever happen to me because it couldn't be explained right. And once it's out there, dude, like, it doesn't matter if it wasn't my fault or things like that. Narrative is narrative, you know?
Yeah, that was an interesting time. It was fun.
That was literally the worst time, I think, in the last 3 years for me. That was a bad 4 days.
Yeah, I mean, now look at it. It's all over. It's all forgotten. Now it's just a meme.
It's not, dude.
Yeah. You don't think so? I mean, I think people are over it.
Any bad change that happens now, I guarantee you go and search Facebook groups, like the Facebook hut group, and be like, yo, dude, look at Sleeves just, you know, making them make untradeable packs everywhere. Here's your issue.
You actually, like, you're negative about the game, but you also voice your opinion. Because there's other people like, you know, Thrash and Henrique are pretty positive about the game. So I don't think they'd ever voice something for something to be changed that has a chance to at all be perceived negative, right? They don't really care about the gameplay.
I mean, they were on board with AP changes.
Yeah. No, but you know what I mean, though.
They didn't get flavor. They were on board with AP changes.
No, I agree with you, right? But in general, their content isn't focused around... really that much game.
Yeah, I'm a little more cynical, which maybe is a bad thing. Like, maybe I'm just, like, so negative. I'll be honest with you guys. Like, no matter what, like, I think that something that maybe is forgotten about or maybe not mentioned or brought up, like, no matter what, even if you consider me an enemy and you think that all my opinions are awful, dude, we want the same thing. Like, selfishly, like, it's like an enemy of your enemy is your friend, right? Like, if the game is better... chances are my numbers are better. So, like, at the end of the day, like, no matter what, I want the game to be better. I don't care if it, like, lines my pockets more, because if that happens, then I'm just perceived as, like, a dickhead. You know, if the game is just better, then it's more enjoyable, and people come and watch and want to actually know what's going on about Hutt and things like that, then it's just, you know, it's a completely different thing. Like, but, you know, it is what it is. All right, dude. Anything else?
Dude, I don't think... Bella's going through her first heat. Did you guys get Summer spayed before she went through that?
Can't get German Shepherd spayed until their second one. It's really bad for their hips.
Okay, that's right. We did talk about that. Yeah, so after she goes through this, we have to...
Two more times. Summer is one, and she hasn't had her second one yet. She's 11. She's 13 months old.
You guys did the diapers?
We have, like, laminate flooring.
Oh, okay, perfect. That's good.
So, like, we tried it. But, like, dude, like, an 8-month-old German Shepherd with a diaper on her, bro, she just went absolutely bonkers.
That's what Bella's doing.
We literally lived with a Swiffer bias, like, at all times. But
Listen, somebody at work did a boss move, by the way. So we got this guy, and I thought this was great. He's, like, he's a director on the technical side. He gets about, like, $8 million in funding a year. Mm-hmm. And he's always threatened. He's like, you know what, if we don't ever get X amount of money, I'm walking. So I got this email on Friday, and he's like, he's a group I'm responsible for. And it's like, this person's resigned, and he's took 7 people from his team. And we're in the process of submitting, like, our, like, next fiscal year budget numbers. And we're supposed to present to, like, the COO in, like, a week. And all this stuff changed. And he left, and he's starting his own company.
He literally said, I didn't get that budget, so we out?
Yep.
Good for him.
Pretty interesting.
We need more of that in the world. We need more of that in the world, dude.
I know.
If we don't get cross-market and cross-console by NHL 24, I'm going to MLB.
No, you're not. You depend on NHL.
I know. I'm so fucking stuck here, Kesso. Oh,
You are.
It is what it is. All right. All right, fellas. It's been fun, episode 38. Hopefully we get you back on Spotify if you're watching on YouTube. But appreciate you guys listening, and we will see you next week. Have a good one.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.